Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. If you want to find out more about this radio show or any of the other radio shows that we have running during the week, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. I hope everybody's doing great tonight, and we have a really great show lined up for you this evening. And with that, I'm going to bring my host on. Pam, are you there?
I am. Nice to see you again, Mark. Or talking on the radio.
Yeah, it's good to hear that you're back. I think you were just up in Chicago doing a conference up there last week, right, or the other day?
That's right. I did the whole Life Expo in Chicago, the Schoenberg Convention Center. It was great fun. I got to even hang out with Gary Zukav a little bit, and I met some very famous people, Eden Alexander, Dr. Alexander, Proof of Heaven, and it was quite exciting. I had fun.
Wow, that's great. So I'll let you go ahead and introduce our guests, and we'll see what we got unfolding tonight.
Wonderful. Well, tonight we have a very exciting show, as you already said. We have two people on tonight, Ann Stephan Russo and Eric Russo. They are authors. They just completed a book called Answers for Sensitive People, which I'm going to let them tell you about. They're medical intuitives and astrologers. So welcome to the show, Anne and Eric.
Thanks for having us, Pam and Mark. It's great to be here tonight.
Yes, thank you also.
Yes, you're so welcome. So let's get to the foundation of this. How did you begin this journey? How did you get into this work?
Well, the basis of Answers for Sensitive People came from a lifelong journey of crying every day of my life growing up and not understanding why. My mother will tell you I cried when the wind blew growing up with no apparent reason why. Later, as I understood my high levels of sensitivity, I understood it was picking up on other people's energies, things that were happening around me due to circumstances, and how that affected me. Other people, as I left my hometown in early 17 years old, I was able to see how other people had other sensitivities, whether it's their emotions, sensitivities to allergies, medications, so forth and so on. So that's really how my journey began on learning my sensitivities, was from birth, basically, and finding answers, which is the name of our website, energeticanswers.com. And logic and reasoning behind why my levels of sensitivity were so high.
I see. How about you, Eric? How did you get involved in this process and this journey?
Well, unlike Anne, I didn't necessarily cry every day, but I did have a lot of anger and a lot of very strong emotions. And for me as a young man, especially in my my high school days, I did not feel like I fit into my peer group. But this was back in the 70s, and at that time, part of fitting in, even though I didn't feel like I belonged to my group, a lot of fitting had to do with basically drugs, alcohol, and being very rebellious. And even in spite of doing that stuff, I never felt like I really belonged to my group in terms of understanding what their motivations were or what was going on inside of me that I really couldn't make sense of. I felt things were much different from me in terms of being more aware of just simply just the physical things. I felt lots of energy around me in terms of I felt people's energy in my space. Though I didn't know that's what it was at the time, I could pick up on their emotions. I believed I was reading them and feeling their strengths or their weaknesses or their feelings in different group situations, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And so for me, I began to read a lot of books, read Edgar Cayce books, began reading astrology, was trying to find answers for why I felt so different from the rest of my particular group. But I had to go through a lot of pain in terms of drug and alcohol abuse and temperamental outbursts and things like that. It wasn't until I got into my 20s and 30s I began to find people that actually I could work with that began to understand energy, that began to understand that I was not alone. And finally, in my journey here in meeting Anne 10 years ago, I found someone who was really onto something in terms of the energy work that she does and the things that she's channeling, and things began to make a lot more sense to me at that point. So we kind of came full circle to, the last couple of years, collaborating on a book that began to kind of put all this, all these feelings and sentences that we had, that I had, that she had, other people had, into some kind of coherent sequence and made more of a understandable format for us to begin to follow and begin, more important, to begin to express to others in terms of how they can find whatever their sensitivity is that oftentimes we think is a weakness, begin to turn into a strength and find out who we are underneath all this superficial stuff we tend to project on the world around us.
I like that. That's really good. I love the idea of turning sensitivity, which is oftentimes a curse for someone, into a blessing, or the way that you put it was from a weakness into a strength. Tell the audience and Mark and I, what it is that you do to help people. I know that Anne, as I'm talking to you as well, I know that mm-hmm. you're a therapist, an alternative therapist, a medical intuitive philosopher. And I know Eric is trained in Reiki, quantum touch. He's a reflexologist, astrologer. What is it that you do? Like if I came to you, for example, and this is actually a situation that I used to have many years ago. I lived in Paris, and I'd walk down the streets of Paris toward the subway or toward wherever I was going, and someone would pass me on the street, and suddenly I would get all of these extremely negative, upsetting thoughts, and I'd see pictures, and it took me a while to figure out that it came from the person that just walked past me. Is it something that you can protect yourself against? Is it something that you should embrace and use somehow? Tell me what your philosophy is on that.
I think those are all really great questions, because everybody knows what energy is. We talk about vibes. You know, you meet somebody, you don't like their vibe, we don't like their energy, we feel uncomfortable in a restaurant, in a shopping mall. A lot of people come to me because they feel uncomfortable in settings of large people or even in small groups of people or one-on-one. And it's very natural and scientifically proven that the energy, that everything is just energy. There's no such thing as solid matter. Everything is just vibrating at different frequencies. And without getting too scientific here, naturally we are reading one another all the time, whether one is aware of that or not. So the question, the answer to your question is yes. What we teach for somebody who comes into the office the first time is four basic skills and tools that will help you be able to adjust to the frequencies around you. Because the minute that I say protect you or those sort of terms, it puts one in fear. And I don't want to go out and feel like I have to be protected all the time. That puts me in paranoia, in obsession mode, and knocks me out of my body. So learning the tools that we teach in the book, which are very simple, and they're meant to be simple, as I've read books from A to Z, studied from teachers all over the world, all different theories and philosophies, which are great, but I think we can make them more usable in a day-to-day basis, integrate them, simply speaking, and be able to go into shopping malls without having to be in fear. To be able to go, as you said, on the train rail in Paris, where there's a lot of chaos. And that's through really four basic and exercises that we give, which is has to do with breathing, planting, being aware of your aura and your crown chakra or your crown center, the top of your head. And the answer to your other question, which is this something to be aware of? For example, what you're talking about, you pick up on pictures or what we might call psychic images of what's going on with the other person. It's information. And when we can be in our center, we don't have to judge that and be afraid of it. It's just their movie or their story that they're playing. And then we can adjust ourselves accordingly. If somebody is in a frenetic mode or movie, we might not want to stand right next to them, right? You adjust accordingly. And the more awareness that we have to that, the more we can make what I call skillful decisions or pay attention to our surroundings and not be in fear of it. Eric, do you have anything to...
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. And I think in addition to the question you posed, Pam, is that rather than having to protect ourselves from these energies, I've found a couple things happen. One, if I'm able to be grounded and be able to be have my aura expanded and be more neutral in that space, I have seen examples where people have actually shifted their energy where their energy is not either so frenetic or chaotic, number one. But maybe more importantly, I find, too, I can have more compassion for the different energies I experience throughout the day, including my own, for that matter. So it kind of puts a little more neutrality and objectivity, but I think more importantly, compassion to the whole human equation of how we're all just trying to do our best for the most part, on this planet. So
I like those things. It's lovely.
Yeah, and just to add to that or really accentuate that it is a different mirror that you put up for the rest of the world when you yourself are in your body centered and grounded and in that neutrality state. It's so amazing, the thousands of stories we are able to tell how that shifts those around us.
Yeah, definitely.
I have a question for Eric. I notice you have a background in astrology, and I was wondering, are there certain signs that are more sensitive than others?
Typically, the water signs are the most sensitive because they have a lot to do with emotions, and those would be the signs of Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And fortunately, unfortunately, I've got all three in my chart. So I understand the water energies quite well, but with those energies can come a lot of awareness too. But typically, all the signs can have sensitivity to them, but the water signs I mentioned a second ago are the ones that have the most prominent sensitivity and emotions around them. In fact, if I am reading a person's chart who has a lot of water energy in their particular chart, my initial assessment is that they are really here in this time frame, this lifetime, to really learn how to master their emotions.
That's very interesting, yeah.
So what are you, Mark?
Well, I'm Pisces, and I'm told that I have a lot of water in all my houses.
Well, I'm a Pisces also, and I find that's probably the one of the most difficult of all the signs to deal with, because Pisces is really trying to make a transition from the earth plane into a sense of connection with all, and it can create a lot of confusion. So that, of all the signs, probably has the most intense sensitivity around it in terms of a desire to escape, a desire to withdraw, to have easily confused feelings about energy they pick up on, because they're constantly reading things consciously and unconsciously. Scorpio has a lot of intense passion, a lot of just very intense energy about it through its sensitivity. And then the Cancer energy is very much about wanting to feel a sense of belonging, or conversely, trying to help others to feel a sense of connection and belonging themselves. So all three signs are very sensed in that way. But I can tell you with their signs, whether it be Taurus or Leo or Virgo or signs like that, that those sensitivities certainly exist, but they're expressed perhaps in a different way, maybe not quite so emotionally. So.
Okay. Well, that does make a lot of sense. I'm a Virgo, and although I have a very strong sensitivity to people, I also have, it brings me to tears from time to time when I'm reading people, but I do try to keep my emotions out of it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also important, too, in looking at people astrologically, that we're talking right now pretty much about our sun signs, but we look at a chart, a natal chart, in its entirety. We have a sign for the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, all the way down to Pluto, number one. And number two, even if we don't have a particular planet in a sign, we still have all the planetary energies within our chart operating in different ways. And those are operating through the houses in the chart, which is 12 houses. So at some point or another, we're going to have sensitivity in the chart, whether it be expressed through the sun itself or through the planetary energy or through the house. It really depends on where it's coming out and to what degree. So I'm less inclined to talk about people's sun sign and more interested in talking about how the whole chart looks in a holistic way, in terms of interacting with other planets and signs and houses to see what the whole picture is. The sun sign is really just a snapshot of the entire chart. And as far as the sun sign energy, that's really, in many ways, the energy we're growing towards in this lifetime, much like a plant on the earth grows towards the sun. We as human beings are much like plants growing towards energy of our sun sign. And more importantly, our sun sign oftentimes indicates where we seek to be validated by the rest of the world, by that sun sign, and where its house location is. So it's a really fascinating science to examine. And I find it very interesting from a psychological standpoint, and with a lot of the work that Anne and I do, it's yet another component to helping to read people and to be able to provide them with more information they can work with.
I think it's also important to add into that is that there's always a range. Whenever you have a label, I'm a Pisces, or I'm a this, or I'm a that, there's always a range you can move into. So, for example, a Leo might be labeled as prideful, overconfident, but there's a whole other range that that energy can move into. And we're not only talking about sun signs, we're talking about anything we experience, from sadness, depression, anger. There's a range that we can move that for example, Leo prideful energy into that lion-hearted, open for self and other, unconditional love. For Pisces, many Pisces are labeled overly sensitive, and they can move that range into handling their sensitivity levels to compassion and non-judgment for their self. And that range, that there's always a range that we can move ourselves, and we're not stuck ever in just one place and time. Of course, the only thing that is sure in this universe is change. And it's when we resist change or growth is when it persists and we feel stuck, stagnant, or this place becomes not a pleasant place to be. So my encouragement, if we look at any system as astrology, so forth and so on, that we encourage that there's a different range that we can move ourselves in so that we move forth through a goal of happiness, joy, engaging life as it is, but as skillfully as we can.
Yeah, I would add to that, too. I'm sorry, go ahead, Pam.
I just was commenting that that was very well said. I enjoyed the answer. Go on, Aaron.
I would just emphasize what Anne is saying, that like when I look at charts, I see what are the potential positive expressions of the chart and what are the potential negative expressions, and again, how they can kind of, what their interactive patterns are within a particular natal chart, because as Anne said, we have a choice really to express a particular energy or energies in a different way than maybe what we've been taught to express them in, or maybe what we don't even know how to express them in. And in part with the astrological work that I do, I like to show people that there are a higher range of options they can consider to begin perhaps to entrain themselves towards being more aware of. For example, Pisces, one of the negative traits of Pisces is escapism or victimhood or martyrdom. And yet the opposite of that can be universal connection, transcendence, and flow. So those are helpful words to keep people aware of so they know they've got a choice within a range of options to consider.
And that's true with just about anything that we think. Our thoughts create our reality. So what range of thought do you want to believe in? My life is horrible. This is the way it has been in the past. This is the way it's always going to be. How can we transform that or reframe that, so we really start getting our brain, our cells of our body, and our total being to switch or to move into a new range.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Pam, if I interrupted you.
No, you didn't. I was just going to sort of shift the conversation back to the book, because I really have a fascination with the concept of answers for sensitive people, and especially the four items that you mentioned early, which is breathing and plant and aura and the crown field chakra. I know I don't want you to tell us all about what the book is or give it away, but I would like a little bit of a quick summary to briefly explain those four things, if you don't mind.
Well, again, they're probably nothing extremely new if you've done energy work or listened to any of these things before. But we have kind of updated the way that we express it. Over the years, I'm working with a lot of the new kids that are coming in are extremely sensitive with ADD, which, again, I don't allow labels. For me, something like ADD, ADHD, certain challenges that we have often are high levels of sensitivity. So we're reframing a lot of these things so we can bring it up to current time and that we can use, for example, our aura or our human energy field as a great network. It looks like a big spider web. and things get stuffed and stored or caught and trapped, creating patterns and patterning in them. What the effects are of breathing and thinking of planting your body into the earth and opening your crown to receive. But how do we receive? So the difference is that we're not trying to make it complicated, but we're trying to bring it up to date to the 21st century. So even some of us oldies like Eric and I can use it in a day-to-day operation and not just read about it, make it usable, make it something that we use is not an option. For example, people who have read books for a long time like me and done a lot of self-search work, we seem to forget in our day-to-day life. And so making things easy and easy to understand and comparing it to our world as it is today has helped a lot of the children and the older children who keep on wanting to grow. In fact, clients that I've had for years say that they like to keep the book in their purse or in their computer bags to remind them of quick and easy tools of how to manage high levels of stress, how to handle when the energy in a school auditorium is full of people and they're feeling really all that frequency is happening. I think that's the best way to put it, that it's simple, easy to do, but effective. And as I said, there are people who I've worked with that don't even like to go to grocery stores or shopping malls, and they say now it's much easier for them to go through. Eric, can you think of some other ways to put how our skills and our work has helped a lot of people in a simple and effective way?
Well, I think what you said is very right on target. I think for myself personally, I'm one of those people who has a hard time going to large crowds. And I would almost be on the verge at times of panic attacks, or conversely, I may go into a crowd and leave and wonder why I feel so depressed and so anxious and just so full of turmoil. So I think for me, and I think I speak for a lot of people who have worked with Anne on this, since she does the bulk of this work, that it's really a coping mechanism so that you feel like you actually do belong here, that you actually can walk the earth, you actually can operate and not feel overwhelmed in the process. I oftentimes wondered for a long time growing up why I'd be in a crowd and feel so depressed. And I thought I was walking into this thinking I was feeling really good, and all of a sudden within a half an hour I felt totally beaten down and didn't know why. So I think just the simple thing for me before I walk into a grocery store that I know I'm breathing, that I know I have my my energy field planted into the earth, that I have my art field wide open, that I have my chakras turned down to various levels so that even though I can have my energy out there, I'm not unnecessarily receiving other people's energy back in my space. Because especially in a grocery store, people are always checking one another out, whether they think they're doing it or not, it's going on. And so I feel like I can walk in there and be competent in doing what I have to do, but I can also engage people, smile, and not be having to hide, so I'm trying to protect myself.
And I love that it's a coping mechanism. The people that I meet, it's, you know, basically an acceptance that you're really sensitive to what's around you. But I also would like to say that when we do get affected by our environment, that it's not a problem. We don't freak out. We don't say, oh, my gosh, I'm depressed, I'll never go back there again, or I don't ever want to go here or there. It's about learning how to use these skills skillfully and asking yourself, when you do get affected, is this my energy or is this someone else's? And using some skills, just as simple as breathing, to send it back to into the earth, send it back to the other person's guides or angels, that we don't have to live in fear. If we do get affected by other people's energies, we can shift it in a matter of seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely second that, and I think there have been times where I have forgotten to either plant myself or to be aware of my surroundings. And so when I leave, I think, oh, wow, I've got this pain in my back now. Wow, I've got this weird sensation. And as Anne said, within a matter of seconds, it's not too late. You can still basically breathe it out. You can still replant yourself, and life still goes on, and you're not any worse for the wear.
Yeah, I find that, Eric, that I had the same thing, and it was really interesting because, you know, before I started to get into what I call my spiritual journey, you know, I was a big technology guy and, you know, just doing all kinds of corporate work. And I would say and experience the same things you did. You know, I would go into places where I'd automatically feel depressed all of a sudden, or I would have panic attacks in large arenas like amusement parks or concerts or something like that. I mean, nothing that I would physically act out, but just, you know, you kind of noticed it. And it wasn't until I really went through that curve of becoming spiritual that I finally recognized exactly what was going on. I think another aspect of this is anybody who's done mediumship can almost experience some of this also, because lots of times when you're connecting with spirit and they want to show you, oh, I had a heart attack when I died, you know, you find that all of a sudden you as the medium are starting to have chest pains. And you're like, well, wait a second, should I be alarmed here? Or is this me? And I think in a lot of these situations, I think the biggest question, I often forget to do this even today, is you have to ask, is this me or is this somebody else?
Yeah, it's a great point. I think I know I can speak for Anne. I'm sure I know with you, Pam and Mark and many of our listeners, I think when you are very sensitive that you are more opened up for people to be naturally, for better or worse, attracted to that energy. It can be very unconscious, that attraction, but nonetheless, there's a certain magnetic quality to it. And so we are, in many ways, lightning rods for all sorts of energy around us, whether it be seen or unseen. And so you're right, whether you're a medium doing that kind of work or simply just minding your own business, going through the aisles of a grocery store, it's very easy to attract lots of energy if you have a certain sensitivity about you, which I think most people have it. The question, are they aware of it, or to what degree do they have it?
Excellent. Let's go ahead and just take a quick break. I just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. We are on every Thursday night from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is our new time slot. And you can find out more about our shows and other shows that we have on Spiritual Connections Radio that we run either monthly or weekly at our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, Anne, what is your website?
www.energeticanswers.com.
Now, I know that both of you have been talking about the new book and everything like that. Is it out?
It is out. It's available on our website. I don't know where else it's available, actually, but I know it's on our website, energeticanswers.com. Eric may know more.
And it is also available through Keen Publishing. That's spelled K-E-E-N, Keen Publishing. And you can also order the book either through that site or through the energeticanswers.com. And the price of the book is $12.95 plus tax, which works out, I think, to $13.84 total. And we do accept credit card on that. And then we have a PayPal account to accept that also.
Yeah. I know that, you know, we've all been talking about some of our experiences. I know from writing your book and from doing the work in the field, you know, with the work that you're doing, Eric, and also Anne, can you share with us some more real-life stories, you know, about sensitivity and some of the people you've worked with?
You want to go first, Anne?
Well, it's hard to know where to start since I work with quite a few people every day. Talking about something on a physical level, something as complicated as a heart condition, and that all medical tests say that the problem has been resolved, the heart is just fine. But this person recently has been triggered by a reunion, and all of a sudden has a reunion, meaning a high school reunion or a middle school reunion, it's something like that, and triggered by, has all of a sudden heart problems again and thinks maybe there's something wrong. So we go into panic, we go into attack. And it can be, well, in this particular case, was a memory of and some connecting of energy of similar stories. And what I want to say about that is we all trigger one another. That's the beauty of being with one another. We can be triggered and have matching issues, matching pictures. So if we run away from one another, we miss what one of my great teachers, John Friedlander, says, you're petty tyrants. If you don't have a petty tyrant, go out and find one, because they help us learn, grow, and evolve. And so this person triggered things for him in his childhood that were unresolved, causing a lot of pain in his chest. And that energy was sort of what I'll call is a thought form of pain and memories and unresolved issues that were in there. And once we worked through them and transformed them, the pain in the heart center had completely resolved itself. So my point is, a lot of times people come to me and say, traditional therapists can't figure me out, whether that's traditional psychologist, traditional medicine, why do I have fibromyalgia? What is this about? And we don't have any cures. None of the medications are working for me. It's usually on a deep subconscious level that we're holding in some kinds of pain, fear, energy, and causing some kind of disharmony and blockages. So those meridians, which are energetic lines in our body, and different parts of our huge network that surrounds us like a big web, and interplays with those physical organs of the body. So it's those thought forms and those, what I call, those things that generate certain emotions and stories that keep on causing disharmony for us. Oftentimes, it's not really a physical issue or emotion. It's like a guide that guides us to keep us on the same program or patterning. And this is a thread with all people that I see. We hang on to our thoughts or patterns, and eventually they soak down way into a physical level. Having seen 4 or 5 people a day today, that's the thing that stands out the most, is the way that it, what we hold on to and what we don't transform. For one person, it may be a rash in their body or herpes reoccurring. Or these things all, from heart disease to cancer, we know scientifically we can change that now down to a cellular level. There's so many documentations, but it's through our thoughts and transformation and what we stuff and store that affects that. Eric, can you think of any good stories of mine?
Well, I'll take the opposite tack. Instead of looking at our professional work, I find some most interesting challenges to implementing these different techniques we have in the book is with our families of origin, because that's where I feel like I get triggered the most, is with my family of origin, because oftentimes we carry the same patterns energetically within our particular family tribe. So when I'm around my brother or sister, for example, it's easy for me to get knocked out of my body, because in my case, I play the role of the youngest sibling of the 3 siblings. So I constantly have to remind myself to employ these different techniques so that I can, number one, be neutral, but also that I can be able to engage them, not as I did maybe as a 8 or 9 year old, which I might do energetically, unconsciously, but now as a person who's 52 and has a little life experience, and you can look at the situation with a little more objectivity. Having said that, I still have to remind myself almost every few minutes when I'm with my family that I've got to breathe, and I've got to plant, I've got to be open in my chakra, because it's my crown chakra, to receive guidance, because I find it very easy to get knocked out of my body around my family. And also, likewise, the family that Anne and I have created with our kids, they can be real challenges at times too, which really bring out a lot of our need to bring these skill sets out so we can engage them, as Anne says, very skillfully. So we can be more in touch with them, honestly, and also more up to date with them too. And I remember Wayne Dyer saying one time, if you think you're spiritual, spend a weekend with your family and see how spiritual you are. And I think that's especially for our families of origin, because we do carry those energetic patterns that are very deep in our core. So.
And it's really only until we can be in our body that we can recognize that and then transform it. Because we know those things that don't feel uncomfortable, and we can continue to try to release, try to let go, and it becomes an ongoing battle. And at some point, we want to stop that battle and really reframe it and transform it to the way that we want to live our life and not the patterns that we are stuck on.
That's lovely. I'd like to interject here because I have two questions that are sort of burning a hole in my mind listening to you, and I want to make sure that I get the questions out before the end of the show. The first one is actually relates to what Mark had asked you earlier. Because I do a lot of medium work as well, oftentimes people will come to me and they'll want to know something, and I'll be talking to them, and I'll realize that they're part of the issue is that the person that's passed on in their life recently is hanging around them a lot, and they're feeling this person. They're extremely sensitive, and they're feeling this person. You know what Mark was saying about how the person that he's reading has died of a heart attack, for example, and so he's feeling chest pain? Well, that not only happens to the reader like me, but it also happens to the person who's being watched over, perhaps, or, this person that's passed on is around them a lot. And so they're picking up that sensitivity. That's my first question. Is that a possibility? Have you seen that before? The second question is, we've talked about it on a negative level, picking up sensitivities in a negative way, things that affect you negatively. But there's a whole other world of picking up sensitivities in a positive way, being in nature, connecting to angels, talking to ascended masters, feeling a whole, we live on the earth plane, which is positive and negative and good and bad and right and wrong and black and white, and we've only talked about the shadow part of this. There's a light part of this that is phenomenal, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about that as well.
First of all, when we become in our body neutral, there is really no good or bad or positive, negative. It's all information. And so one, of course, feels a lot better than the other. But when we pay attention, we really can't sort that out, right? So I know when I'm hearing from the guide, an angel, a higher vibrational energy, than if I'm hearing from somebody, Aunt Louise, who just passed away, who drank 2 bottles of vodka a day and smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. Those are different vibrations, right?
It feels a bit different, right.
And that's the same day to day. They're not good or bad in my book. They're different ways of exploring life. and exploring different realms, because energies on the other sides can be deceiving as well. And that's not to complicate things. It's to become aware. When you're in your body, you can be a better filter for that as a channel or a medium, whatever it is that you might term it. But using all senses can help you decipher. And so that's one end of the spectrum here. The other thing is your energy field is for you. And if you have guides, angels, people from the other side who particularly just passed over and they're getting in your space, I ask them, and even my highest vibrational guides and angels and those who channel through me, they don't get in my space because the angels and your guides can't descend for you. My truly adept ones will give me suggestions and so forth and so on, but they're not in my space. I'm cultivating a co-creator energy in this lifetime, as we all are, and in different levels. As I said, all experiences are sacred in the way we learn, grow, and evolve. So probably if I am feeling too much of what the other person is feeling, I may not be in my body enough. I might not be neutral. There are so many other ways to use your intuitive abilities than to have to feel it that intensely and to get the information rather than be affected by it. And so
I wasn't necessarily talking about the reader. I was talking about the person that was coming to you as not necessarily a reader, but someone who was being affected by this unconsciously.
Well, that's exactly the same, too. So somebody who has their loved one that has passed away and feels their pain, their agony, and their grief so intensely, they've gotten their energies intertwined. And what happens is we get into what is called a bleeding heart energy, where we get enmeshed with one another. Instead of, again, having a space between that person and a space between us, I still may feel the pain, but the more you get intertwined with energies, it adds to it, and it adds to it, and it adds to it. So it makes it harder to know what is yours and what is the other energy. And it makes it harder also to handle it and to be in that neutrality and to honor one's journey of pain, of sacrifice, of guilt, of shame, whatever, or beauty. And I think it's the best way to look at it as somebody like Mother Teresa or the Dalai Lama, who's able to do their work. It's not that they don't have pain or a feel or have an opinion whether something is good or bad, but they don't get entwined and enmeshed in it. So they don't have disease, disharmony in their body. And so I'm very quick to ask any energies that speak to me or speak to my clients, you have your space, and remember this is my bubble or my network, and we'll communicate by giving each other our own space, just as you would maybe with your kids at home or sometimes your partner. This is my space. And that makes it, it allows us to have more clarity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Eric,
okay.
Is there anything?
No, I think I've answered that. I think you wanted to answer the question, though. The more positive energy that's out there as a second part of the question, I think that's a great question because we oftentimes we tend to focus on things sometimes inadvertently on the negative, and certainly I think all of us who've been outside in nature, if we're standing in grass or out in the woods somewhere, can breathe in fresh air, that can be a great energy shifter just by being in a different environment that doesn't have electronics around. It doesn't have frenetic energy, but simply is just nature at its best, which is just in its pure form. And so I find myself able to shift if I'm outside, for example, walking our dog, or just outside and doing some manual labor, like I'm painting our house right now. That helps me to shift also just by being out in a more natural setting where I can more easily absorb what nature has to offer, which I think oftentimes it is much more positive energy.
I would agree and put a word of warning in that. I'll give an example. I was, when my kids were younger, I was playing with them out in the forest and hiking with them, running around, playing in the clay, and it came time to go to our car. And since my kids are very psychically and sensitively open, I went to get in the car, and my oldest daughter said, "Mom, I'm not getting in the car with you. You're not in your body," or what she said, "You're not grounded. I'm not getting in the car with you. You're still out in La La Playland." So that was a huge shift for me. And I do have some people that are farmers and that love to be out in nature. They're sometimes people that are most out of their bodies. So I learned to enjoy nature and to be playful, joyful spirit, but still be on this planet. And as I feel, we're, as humans, a great conduit between heaven and earth. And so that is one of my favorite stories. And I learned that playing out in nature and being still in my body and connected to earth rather than flying here, there, and everywhere became even more enjoyable, and more intuitive energy came to me, and more resources from above and below flowed through me. So that's one of my favorite stories.
That's a nice story. Thank you for sharing that.
I think both of you might have covered this already, but I'd like to kind of go back and touch on it for a moment. You know, with the people that you both work with, what do you think is the number one, I don't want to say complaint, but the number one sensitivity issue that seems to come up?
I'll say off the bat, not being good enough or believing we have to be perfect. That's an issue I see a lot. I don't know what Anne would say, but that's an issue I see a lot.
I really feel like people think things are becoming more and more difficult, which I feel like with the social media, the more electronics that we have, the more different electrical currents that are in our field, the more confused people get, which is why also basic skills are really helpful. Because we're getting so many frequencies downloading us on a scientific level that it's making it feel like this planet is harder. And it's making it harder for us to see that there are a lot of growth. There is a lot of advancement. People really do want peace more. People really do want joy and happiness more instead of the drama in the last 2,000 years, which, sorry guys, but that was the Piscean age. that we do want to move forward into a whole and move forward. So I really think life is too hard, and that means a lot of things for a lot of people. Again, since I work with a lot of younger people, school's too hard. I can't learn all these things. I can't possibly do all of these things at one time. And that can be even a person working at a high-level executive job. There's just too much, too much.
Excellent. Thank you.
Other than that, there are the same, usually, labels that come in on a day-to-day basis. I've been termed with ADD, fibro. I get a lot of fibromyalgia cases, which are very actually easy to work with in time. And those are very big issues, not feeling good enough. So some of the physical things, or even from arthritis to vision. We're on television a lot. There's a lot of vision cases lately. I would say the number one thing, though, is depression. Everybody's coming in and saying, I'm depressed. I'm not happy.
Would you say that your work is more exercise-based, where you would give a person a series of exercises to do, in mental or physical exercises, or is it meditation-based, or is it like moving through life and small little things that you can do to shift things? What is your primary focus when someone comes to you? What's your advice?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, because a lot of people will just say, just give me a reading. And I'll say, great, I'll do that for you. But in a session, the first session takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours. My goal is to also be able to teach you to do to be able to manage your life in a more skillful way. So a psychic reading is only giving a person a probability or possibility of what is happening, what mm-hmm. could, may, or might happen. And we can definitely, in many ways, make that probability easier or change it altogether. And that is also a scientific fact. So I much prefer, yes, I'll give readings, I'll give messages. Some people say, is this a energy session, a psychic reading, or is this an intuitive class? And the answer will be, it will be all of the above, because I want to give you skills to do these things at home, to implement them in a day-to-day basis, and that I just don't give you fish. I teach you how to, what's that saying the great master said? You just don't want to feed the fishermen or feed the people. You want to teach them how to fish as well. And so that's what the basis of my work is. And that's why I do a lot of teaching, a lot of lecturing, a lot of basic tools, but very powerful and concise and to the point, that we can use them in practical day-to-day usage. And okay. I think Eric does that even with his astrology work. He just doesn't say, this is the way your chart is, and this is what your life is going to be. If there's a range, and there's, he might refer them to me or another practitioner or this resource or that resource. So we never have to be stuck in any one, this is the way it is, because there is at least 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10 answers to any truth that are all good. We're all
ready
to grow.
Yeah. And they can definitely shift at any one time, too.
Well, thank you both for your answers tonight and your beautiful outlook and perspective. And I'm sure, you know, please tell us what your website is again, and we'll encourage our listeners to go to your website, find out more about you, order your book.
The website is energeticanswers.com. Our book is Answers for Sensitive People. And anything else, Eric?
No, it's that's it. And it's a very short, easy read. It's about 35 pages in length. You can probably read it in about maybe a half an hour. And we wrote it more as a manual than simply as a sit-down book. So this is really a kind of a guide, as Ann indicated earlier, that you can take around with you and dog ear the pages and go to the page you want to get for immediate information on how to do something. So I think it was
great.
Right.
Well, thank you for both of you being on. It's so great to talk to both of you. And thank you, Pam, for being on tonight. And everybody,
oh,
have a
welcome.
Great night.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having us.